The Phoenix Theater and Arts Company's audio drama series presents A Collection of Autumn Poetry, curated and directed by Gina Stanton. For past episodes, upcoming events, and other information, make sure to visit our website at phoenixtheaterartsco.com. That's theater with an R-E. Without further ado, we give you Autumn Poetry.
November by Alice Carey. The leaves are fading and falling, the winds are rough and wild. The birds have ceased their calling, but let me tell you, my child, though day by day as it closes and doth darker and colder grow, the roots of the bright red roses will keep alive in the snow. And when the winter is over, the boughs will get new leaves, the quail come back to the clover, and the swallow back to the eaves. The robin will wear on his bosom a vest that is bright and new, and the loveliest wayside blossom will shine with the sun and dew. The leaves today are whirling, the brooks are all dry and dumb, but let me tell you, my darling, the spring will be sure to come. There must be rough, cold weather and winds and rains so wild. Not all good things together come to us here, my child. So when some dear joy loses its beauteous summer glow, think how the roots of the roses are kept alive in the snow.
A Fall Song by Ellen Rabena Field. Golden and red trees nod to the soft breeze as it whispers, "Winter is near." And the brown nuts fall at the wind's loud call, for this is the fall of the year. Goodbye, sweet flowers. Through bright summer hours, you have filled our hearts with cheer. We shall miss you so, and yet you must go, for this is the fall of the year. Now the days grow cold as the year grows old, and the meadows are brown and sere. Brave Robin Redbreast has gone from his nest, for this is the fall of the year. I do softly pray at the close of the day that the little children, so dear, may as purely grow as the fleecy snow that follows the fall of the year.
The Huskers by John Greenleaf Whittier. It was late in mild October, and the long autumnal rain had left the summer harvest fields all green with grass again. The first sharp frosts had fallen, leaving all the woodlands gay with hues of summer's rainbow or the meadows' flowers of May. Through a thin, dry mist that morning, the sun rose broad and red. At first a rayless disk of fire, he brightened as he sped. Yet even in his noontide glory fell chastened and subdued on the cornfields and the orchard and softly pictured wood. And all that quiet afternoon, slow sloping to the night, he wove with golden shuttle the haze with yellow light. Slanting through the tented beeches, he glorified the hill, and beneath it pond and meadow lay brighter, greener still. And shouting boys in woodland haunts caught glimpses of that sky, flecked by the many tinted leaves, and laughed, they knew not why. And schoolgirls, gay with aster flowers beside the meadow brooks, mingled in the glow of autumn with the sunshine of sweet looks. From spire and barn looked westerly the patient weathercocks, but even the birches on the hill stood motionless as rocks. No sound was in the woodland save the squirrel's dropping shell, and the yellow leaves among the boughs low rustling as they fell. The summer grains were harvested, the stubble fields lay dry, where June winds roiled the light and shade, the pale green waves of rye. But still, on gentle hill slopes, in valleys fringed with wood, ungathered, bleaching in the sun, the heavy corn crop stood. Bent low by autumn's wind and rain, though husks that dry and sear, unfolded from their ripened charge, shone out the yellow ear. Beneath, the turnip lay concealed in many a verdant fold, and glistening in the slanting light, the pumpkin's sphere of gold. There wrought the busy harvester, and many a creaking wain bore slowly to the long barn floor its load of husk and grain. Till broad and red, as when he rose, the sun sank down at last, and like a merry guest's farewell, the day in brightness passed. And lo, as though the western pines on meadow, stream, and pond flamed the red radiance of a sky set all afire beyond. Slowly o'er the eastern sea bluffs a milder glory shone, and the sunset and the moonrise were mingled into one. And thus into the quiet night the twilight lapsed away, and deeper in the brightening moon the tranquil shadows lay from many a brown old farmhouse and hamlet without name. Their milking and their home tasks done, the merry huskers came, swung o'er the heaped-up harvest from the pitchforks in the mow, shone deeply down the lanterns on the pleasant scene below. The glowing pile of husks behind, the golden ears before, and laughing eyes and busy hands and brown cheeks glimmering o'er, half hidden in a quiet nook, serene of look and heart, talking to their old times over, the old men sat apart, while up and down the husked pile, or the nestling in its shade, at hide-and-seek, with laugh and shout, the happy children played, urged by the good host's daughter, a maiden young and fair, lifting to light her sweet blue eyes and pride of soft brown hair, the master of the village school, sleek of hair and smooth of tongue, to the quaint tune of some old psalm, a husking ballad sung.
After Apple Picking by Robert Frost. My long two-pointed ladder sticking through a tree toward heaven still, and there's a barrel that I didn't fill beside it, and there may be two or three apples I didn't pick upon some bough. But I am done with apple picking now. Essence of winter sleep is on the night, the scent of apples I am drowsing off. I cannot rub the strangeness from my sight I got from looking through a pane of glass I skimmed this morning from the drinking trough, and held against the world of hoary grass. It melted, and I let it fall and break. But I was well upon my way to sleep before it fell, and I could tell what form my dreaming was about to take. Magnified apples appear and disappear, stem end and blossom end, and every fleck of russet showing clear. My instep arch not only keeps the ache, it keeps the pressure of a ladder round. I feel the ladder sway as the boughs bend, and I keep hearing from the cellar bin the rumbling sound of load on load of apples coming in, for I have had too much of apple picking. I am overtired of the great harvest I myself desired. There were 10,000,000 fruit to touch, cherish in hand, lift down and not let fall. For all that struck the earth, no matter if not bruised or spiked with stubble, went surely to the cider apple heap, as of no worth. One can see what will trouble the sleep of mine, whatever sleep it is. Were he not gone, the woodchuck could say whether it's like his long sleep, as I describe its coming on, or just some human sleep.
The Migration of the Gray Squirrels by William Howitt. When in my youth I traveled throughout each north country, many a strange thing did I hear, and many a strange thing to see. But nothing was there pleased me more than when, in autumn brown, I came in the depths of the pathless woods to the gray squirrel's town. There were hundreds that in the hollow boles of the old trees did dwell, and laid up store hard by their door of the sweet mast as it fell. But soon the hungry wild swine came, and with thievish snouts dug up their buried treasure and left them not so much as an acorn cup. Then did they chatter in angry mood, and one and all decree into the forests of rich stone pine, over hill and dale to flee. Over hill and dale, for many a league they went, like a troop of undaunted travelers governed by one consent. But the hawk and the eagle and peering owl did dreadfully pursue, when lo, to cut off their pilgrimage, a broad stream lay in view. Then did each wondrous creature show his cunning and bravery. With a piece of the pine bark in his mouth, unto the stream came he, and boldly his little bark he launched without the least delay. His busy tail was his upright sail, and he merrily steered away. Never was there a lovelier sight than that gray squirrel's fleet, and with anxious eyes I watched to see what fortune it would meet. Soon had they reached the rough mild stream, and ever and anon I grieved to behold some bark wrecked, and, its little steersman gone. But the main fleet stoutly held across. I saw them leap to shore. They entered the woods with a cry of joy, for their perilous march was o'er.
How the Leaves Came Down by Susan Coolidge. I'll tell you how the leaves came down, the great tree to his children said. You're getting sleepy, yellow and brown. Yes, very sleepy, little red. It is quite time to go to bed. Ah, begged each silly pouting leaf, let us a little longer stay. Dear father tree, behold our grief. 'Tis such a very pleasant day, we do not want to go away. So, for just one more merry day, to the great tree the leaflets clung, frolicked and danced and had their way, upon the autumn breezes swung, whispering all their sports among. Perhaps the great tree will forget, and let us stay until the spring, if we all beg and coax and fret. But the great tree did no such thing. He smiled to hear their whispering. Come, children, all to bed, he cried. And ere the leaves could urge their prayer, he shook his head, and far and wide, fluttering and rustling everywhere, down sped the leaflets through the air. I saw them. On the ground they lay, golden and red, a huddled swarm, waiting till one from far away, white bedcloths heaped upon her arm, should come to wrap them safe and warm. The great bare tree looked down and smiled. Good night, dear little leaves, he said. And from below each sleepy child replied, good night, and murmured, it is so nice to go to bed.
Autumn, Queen of Year by Winifred Sackville Stoner Jr. When the pumpkins are so yellow, and the vines with grapes abound, when the melons are so mellow, and the nuts fall to the ground, when persimmons lose their bitters, and the apples are so red, when we love to eat corn fritters, since the roasting ears have fled, when vacation days are over, and the children go to school, they no longer play in clover, but much learn arithmo's rule. When weird Halloween's most naughty elves with gnomes and sprites appear, while fat Thanksgiving fills the shelves, 'tis autumn, queen of year.
P-TAC's audio drama series is a production by the Phoenix Theater and Arts Company. This week's episode, Autumn Poetry, was curated, directed, and edited by Gina Stanton and features the vocal talents of Emma Burke-Kovitz, Sean Latassa, Judy Brewster, Jenna Isabella, Amanda Booth, Devin Traeger, and Mike Stanton. Original P-TAC music by Brian Sanishin. For a full listing of credits, visit us at phoenixtheaterartsco.com. That's theater with an R-E. While you're there, please consider clicking the donate link. That would be delightful. Have comments or questions? Email us at phoenixtheaterartsco@gmail.com. Or find us on social media. A very special thank you to our Patreon subscribers, with a shout out to those sitting in the box seats, Ken Shelby, and on stage seating, Margaret Thurston. We couldn't do this without you. Join us next time for The Raven.